3. The Fire Trap. Only Gobber was riding a dragon big enough to fly him over the fire and out of the danger. But there was no question of him abandoning his pupils, who were riding on dragons whose wings were too weak to take off. They were trying desperately to do so, but only Snotlout's devilish dervish could muster up enough strength to carry him any height at all before it collapsed to the ground again. The Vikings on their dragons galloped down the line of flame, hoping to find a place weak enough to jump through. But the woods were dry as a bone, and the fire burnt fierce and quick. On and on the flames ran, and then they began to bend round in a circle, forcing the boys back and herding them up the hill, just as they had herded the reindeer only moments before. The herders were becoming the herded. Both ends of the circle of fire joined together. They were now trapped on the top of the mountain. All at the same time, the boys removed their swords from their scabbards. Even the stupidest among them realised they were now under attack. The dragons were not terrified of the fire, of course, for dragon skins are fairly fireproof. Sometimes completely, it depends on the dragon. And most dragons play in fire as joyfully as dolphins in water. What the dragons did not like was those black shapes prowling in the fire. This is what terrified them and sent them snarling backwards, their hackles rising. The boys dismounted their riding dragons, for if they remained on their backs, there was a real danger the dragons would plunge them straight into the inferno in their fever to get away. For dragons are only obedient up to a certain point, and they will not stay and fight if their lives are in danger. And indeed, the instant the boys got off, the dragons fled upward, making Hiccup's heart sink even lower, for dragons have a strong instinct for the presence of mortal danger. One by one, they fled. All of the riding dragons, the devilish dervish, the marsh tiger, the rocket ripper, and with a final bad mood, Shetlandish snort, the chicken poxer. All of the hunting dragons, fireworm, Snotlout's monstrous nightmare, sea slug, horror cow, forktail, snake heart, bog flyer, until only Goliath was left. And the windwalker. Rather surprisingly, for he had been running away all afternoon. Now that there really was a reason to flee, the Windwalker stayed by Hiccup's side, its wings trembling and shaking nervously and looking over its shoulder. Toothless, too, remained, hidden under Hiccup's helmet, and his muffled muttering could be heard echoing through the metal.
Don't know why we're here anyway. Too midgey-y. Toothless being bitten to death. Toothless thirsty. Toothless hungry. It's a way past Toothless's bedtime, and nobody thinks of poor thirsty Toothless. Oh, no. They're all so selfish, worrying about their own silly problems.
The Vikings peered into the flames, up into the smoke-filled sky, waiting, waiting. Waiting for the first strike. It didn't take long. There was a petrified scream from behind them. They whipped around just in time to see a reindeer fall down dead on the spot, from what looked like a long sword wound to the throat.
"What was that?"
asked Fishlegs, quivering. But no one could answer him, for it was too quick to see what had happened exactly.
"I think I saw something,"
whispered Clueless.
"Something black, a dragon maybe, came shooting out of the flames, killed the deer and sprang back out of the circle again."
Silence again, and the boys were rigid with tension, peering from left to right in the circle of smoke to try and guess where the next attack would come from. Hiccup was sweating so hard he had to wipe his left palm on his waistcoat because his sword was slipping in his hand. And then there was another scream from another reindeer, and again the boys whirled round, and again the reindeer was already dead, this time from sword wounds both to the heart and the head.
"Okay," said Gobber, "we need to evacuate this area now."
"How many of us can you take on your back at once, Goliath?" asked Hiccup.
"Two, I'd say," grunted the big bull ruffer. "One, if it's a fatty like that one."
And he pointed a wing at Dog's Breath the Durbrain. "He said he could take two," Hiccup told Gobber. Interestingly, Gobber did not tell Hiccup off for speaking in Dragonese in this emergency.
"Fishlegs and Speedy Fist," ordered Gobber, "get up on Goliath's back."
The two boys scrambled up, and the big riding dragon spread its wings and took off, up over the flame barrier and out of the fire trap. Now the remaining Vikings had their work cut out, trying to avoid being trampled to death by the hooves of the terrified reindeer, or speared by their antlers as they panicked and stampeded around the circle, rearing up at the flames and squealing in terror. Silence again, and the boys were rigid with tension, peering from left to right of the circle of smoke. Was it Hiccup's imagination, or did the circle of fire appear to be closing in on them? By the time that Goliath returned, the flames were definitely inching forward, making the circle they were standing on ever so slightly smaller.
"Snort, Lout, and Warthyhog, you go next!" yelled Gobber the Belch.
5 times Goliath flew out of the circle, with 2 boys on his back each time. The 6th time he could only carry Dog's Breath the Durbrain, and the flames were burning higher than 4 tall trees on top of each other, terrible great towers flaming all around them in a fiery circle so close that Hiccup's eyes watered and his cheeks burned as hot as if they were on fire already.
"Me tired,"
complained Toothless from under Hiccup's helmet, still unaware of what was going on.
"When we going home?"
"I think you should go home now, Toothless, while you still can," said Hiccup, trying to take his helmet off, but Toothless held it down with his gripping little claws and squealed in indignation.
Go away, mean master. It's too midgy-y for poor Toothless out there. Toothless be eaten alive if he go out there."
"Come on, Goliath, come on," muttered Gobber the Belch. "You great slug of a reptile. We're going to be Viking hamburgers at this rate. Get a move on. Ah, here he is, thank Thor."
The great beast flew out of the flames up to the scrabbly pinnacle of mountaintop where the boy and his master were kneeling. The boy's dragon, his windwalker, was pressed up beside them both, with its wings outstretched, trying to protect them from the heat of the flames.
"On you go, boy," growled Gobber the Belch, helping Hiccup onto the mighty dragon's back.
He gave the boy a half-smile and the hooligan salute.
"See you across the other side," said Gobber the Belch,
as cheerfully as if he didn't know perfectly well that there probably wouldn't be time for Goliath to come back and rescue him as well. That's a Viking hero for you. For perhaps when death was burning so close and so fierce, only feet and minutes away from him, perhaps even Gobber was more frightened than he seemed to be. But you couldn't have told it from his face as he whistled carelessly and slapped Goliath on the backside for the last time.
"Off you go, you alligator-featured slowcoach," he roared. "Out of my way, then, red-sprouting, jelly-bottomed walrus face," snorted Goliath in reply.
The great bull-ruffer spread his wings and prepared for takeoff. Nobody saw the black shape sneaking out of the fire, leaping towards Goliath with a flash of sword-like silver held out in front of it and springing back again. It was as quick as that. The powerful, roaring, barrel-chested dragon took 2 strides forward and sank to his knees and onto his side. He didn't make a sound. He just closed his eyes for the last time, as gently as a baby, as soft as a sigh.
"Goliath!" cried Gobber in surprise, trying to lift up the great buffalo head in his bare arms. "What are you doing, you idiotic animal? This is no time for sleeping."
"He's not sleeping," said Hiccup quietly. Still sitting between the bullruffer's tail spines, he pointed to the terrible green wound on Goliath's chest. "I'm afraid he's dead, sir." Both boy and master sat silently now, waiting for the fire to get them. The great circle of flames burned high around their now tiny patch of mountainside. A puff of wind could have blown the inferno across and snuffed them out in a heartbeat. But perhaps it wouldn't be the fire that got them in the end, after all. Now that victory was certain, now that the end was so close, the enemy hiding in the fire was prepared, finally, to show itself, to enjoy the final strike. There was something moving in the fire. Panther-like shapes crept through the flames, prowling round them, hunting them, watching them as a cat watches its prey.